Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to the latest Flyers Talk podcast. I am Jordan Hall, and I am thrilled to be joined by the play-by-play voice of the Flyers, Jim Jackson. Jim, the 2023-24 season is over, and I think it's safe to say the fact that it got to a meaningful Game 82 for the Flyers is a little nice feather in the cap of the new regime here for the Flyers. But, Jim, the big debate will probably be, how does the finish to the season, does it outweigh what they did in the first four and a half months of the season? How do you see it? How do you look at the big picture of the rebuild and the finish?
Well, you mentioned big picture. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. In today's society, we do so many things with the small picture, with this thing, or with this. Screens we're on right now, which to me, I might call. But so if you look small picture, you look right now, how do you feel? Probably will feel for the next week or so. It's not fun because the Flyers spent 126 days, I believe, something like that, in the playoff spot consecutively, from December through January through February through March into April in a playoff spot. And they had that stretch of six games against teams below them at the time in the standings, and got one out of a possible 12 points. So you do the math, they could have won just the Chicago and Columbus games of that stretch, two teams that were at the very bottom of the standings, and they would have been breezing into the playoffs. So not breezing, but they would have been in. Yeah. And if they had even gone 500 in that stretch, they would have easily made the playoffs. So you're going to rue that. You're absolutely – I know the players tried to come up with this no regrets for the last two or three games. It was great that they bounced back and played well, but they're still going to have regrets. I mean, let's face it. When they're sitting in their cottage or they're on their vacations in the summer, there's going to be those fleeting moments when you think, what – you know, we should have made the playoffs. So small picture, there absolutely is that frustration. There's no doubt about it. I mean, we all feel it. There's no question about that. Big picture, though – great year. I mean, when you think about where this team was at the beginning of the season, I know I may have gone on this very podcast. I know I went on a bunch of them and said, I think the Flyers are playoff contenders. But certain things I thought had to hold for them to be playoff contenders. One, Carter Hart lasts the whole year. Two, Sean Couturier, Cam Atkinson come back and be meaningful players for the whole year. Three, the young players in the team all had to take, or not all, but many of them had to take a step up. So of those three, one lasted about half the year. Two lasted about half the year. Three, I think, happened. And even with that, they still took it to game 82 with a chance to make the playoffs. So if you look at it that way, I think it was a good year. We saw the development of the young players, which we wanted to see. I mean, Cam York took a huge step. Owen Tippett took another step. We can go right down the line, the young players. Some didn't take as big a step, but almost all of them at least improved to some degree. So when you take that into consideration, that was probably the most important of all of those things I mentioned. I mean, Coots had a good half year. His play fell off. Then all the ice time situation, the scratches, all that came into play. Cam started well, had a dip, then had a burst, then really had trouble down the stretch. So you'd kind of say they were halfway through the season, and then they weren't really huge contributors down the stretch either. So if you think that and no Carter for the second half of the year, that would have changed my prediction. If I had known that big time, I don't think Brian Boucher, my broadcast partner, nor I would have been out there saying at the beginning of the year, this can be a playoff team. If we had known they were going to lose or two. So given that those two also have, and they still almost made the playoffs, you know, pretty remarkable year for what John Tortorella did with his team. So small picture, it hurts. It's going to hurt. Big picture, this is really what the rebuild's about, seeing what these young players can do, seeing which of these young players you want to hit your wagon to and move forward on the rebuild. There were also, of course, they picked up a first-round pick. So as far as the asset management, that went well during the season. They got another first-round pick. They have four in the next two drafts. And there's a whole bunch of young players on the way, of course, headed by Matvei Michkov. But now we know the Russian goaltenders have been able to come over. So there's a whole lot of things that happened when you point to the future that are really good. And that's really the most important thing, even though at this particular moment, this close to the end of the season, a season which they were in a playoff spot for so long, you probably don't feel that way. But I think in a month or two from now, you'll start feeling that way.
I agree with you, Jim. I think the positives really outweigh the negatives. The one negative being, of course, that they collapsed. They didn't get into the playoffs when they had, you know, firm hold of a position, third place for over two plus months. And Jim, I liked what they did at the trade deadline. I mean, they supplemented their rebuild. They stuck to their word by trading Sean Walker, and there's no denying that the absence of Walker hurt them. And
yeah, they're in the playoffs without that trade, I think, because the defense really did struggle, not just because they lost Sean, but at that time, Seeler got hurt. Drysdale got hurt just before that. Ristolainen was not coming back. So yeah, that's four defensemen out of the mix. Not many teams can take four of their top six or seven, however you want to look at that. I would say they're probably four of their top six at that point. Not many teams can take 4D and take them out in the stretch run and not feel an effect, especially when you have a rookie goalie behind that defense core that's being worked really hard and probably, you know, worked too hard, but they didn't have any other capable option at the time. So yeah, put that math together. It's not really a surprise that it happened. I thought it was more a surprise they hung in there quite as long as they did. Part of that because the other teams also struggled around them, which helped them keep that playoff position. But bottom line was they hung in there. And then they get through that tough stretch, that gauntlet we kept calling it. I think maybe we all played too much into that because they did play pretty well through the gauntlet, got 6 points, could have easily gotten eight, maybe 10, outplayed teams quite a bit through that stretch. So there you are. You're still in a playoff spot, and you're looking at six straight games against teams below you in the standings, some of them at the very bottom of the standings, and you're saying they did it. They made it through the gauntlet. They're going in the playoffs, and then they get one out of 12 points. So that's really the collapse. People say the eight-game winless streak. Well, the first two of that were a game which they dominated Florida at home and lost performance. And then they lost that overtime game in New York where they kept coming back and showed all the fight that this team showed all year. And it was a good point. Everybody talked about it at the time. So it was a good point. So the first two games of the eight-game winless streak, don't bother me. But the six against teams below, they played well in a couple of them. The Buffalo game, they deserved a better fate. But the Chicago and Columbus games are the two that really stick out to me because they really should have beaten those teams. And then, of course, the debacle in the second game up in Montreal where you can tell the confidence was shot. They also bounced back, Jordan, to win those two games, giving them a chance in game 82. Yeah. That showed a lot because I can remember being around the team before that game at Madison Square Garden, and everybody had written them off at that point. And if there had been anybody who had, you know, it might have kept them in it at the beginning of the season or any of the times where you might have doubted this team through the year. They were all doubting them after that Montreal game. And this team rises up and beats the team that eventually won the President's Trophy, giving them, by the way, a 5-1-1 record this year against teams when they played them that had the most points in the NHL, which also shows you the level this team could play to. So that can make you happy or it can frustrate you because a team that can play to that level should be in the playoffs. But at the same time, it also shows the potential in this group. And I think when we're looking forward, it's that potential you're looking for. Then they beat the Devils in a solid game. And I think they might have won the Washington game had it not been the bizarre situation where they had to win a regulation. They pulled a goalie. You know, they were after a very tentative start to that game, I thought they were playing better as the game went along and might have eventually won that game. Don't know for sure, but they obviously lost because they pulled their goalie in a tie game. So that's kind of an artificial loss. So they might very easily have won their last three games after that 0-6-2 stretch, which really shows a lot about the makeup of this team. And the other thing which we didn't mention, Jordan, about the goal of this season was to continue to add to what John Tortorella had put in last year, which was basically the, he doesn't like to use the word culture, but to affect the standard of the team. That happened this year too. There's no question about that. The players bought in. I think there was a crisis moment there late when they lost that game in Montreal by as much that people were worried maybe they had quit on the coach. I mean, I didn't think that. I did a billion, many interviews around that time. Yeah. And I said, it looks like it. I don't think it's happening. And I think they proved, obviously, by beating the Rangers and Devils and playing competitive hockey the last three games, that it wasn't about quitting on the coach or anything. They just got off the rails. A young team lost their confidence and at the wrong moment got into a rut, and the rut cost them a playoff spot. But having said all that, I told you the positives. The standard that he wanted to develop is definitely here. The young players got better. They accumulated more assets, and even some of the assets which they had, which there has been some question marks about whether they'd be able to get over. So, yeah, lots of positives as we move forward. You look forward, don't look backwards. You look forward. There's lots to look forward to.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Celebrity cook Steve Martorano brings his Italian-American cooking back home to Philly. Enjoy Martorano's Prime at Rivers Casino and Steve's famous meatballs with Sunday gravy, prime steaks, and more. Make reservations for Martorano's Prime on Open Table. I've had some people talk to me about, well, gosh, this is where we didn't want the Flyers, a team that's on the fringe of the playoffs, either in just barely or out just barely. But Jim, that would bother me a little more if this was a team that was plateauing, if this was a team that had a roster kind of littered with some players that are aging, bad contracts. And in my eyes, it's not. They have a lot of guys that I think are 25 and younger, a lot of guys that are maybe below the 30 line that I think are getting better. How do you feel about that? And that maybe narrative that, well, this is not where we wanted the Flyers. I think they're getting better. And if anything, the rebuild I thought looked a little expedited, and this is where they are now when it's expedited.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan, really, you look at it, the concerns there are when you're moving forward and you're just out of the playoffs, your draft position, right?
Yeah.
This year's draft, there's position one, and then there's the rest. Yeah. I mean, Magno Celebrini is going to be the first overall pick, and then every scout I've talked to says it's just a mishmash after that. There are some decent players. It's not the strongest draft around, but it's not like being two is going to be that much better than seven, or being eight is going to be that much better than 13. It's going to be how your scouts do and whether you hit on it. There's players you can hit on. And the Flyers are going to be picking, I believe, 12th if they don't move up somehow. So they're going to have that, and then they're going to have the other pick. The thing about finishing close and not making it and saying, well, this isn't really a rebuild, what that isn't is a tank, all right? If you want a tank and you go for the top pick and hope you win the lottery, or, you know, go so low that you can't finish, you know, get a pick lower than two or three, that's tanking. Go ahead and try that route. I've seen teams try it. Doesn't always work. Sabres have had a gazillion high picks, and they're 13 straight years out of the playoffs, eight coaches. Edmonton had three first overalls over a 5 or 6 year period at one point. Didn't help them. And that was before McDavid was picked. They won the lottery to get McDavid. This is when they were so bad, they got the first overall on their own for several years in a row, and they didn't get better. So it's not a guarantee. There's no guarantee. And it might be more so in the NBA, where you have a pretty good idea of who the top two or three players every draft are, and they always pan out and such. or maybe even in the NFL a little bit, where you can get that quarterback that's a franchise quarterback. But in the NHL, the Flyers fully know this. They had the second overall pick. It didn't work out too well, did it? So there's just no guarantees. What Danny and Jonesy and Dan Hilferty towards the whole group has done really well is they still have collected assets, even though their team almost made the playoffs. It hurt. It may be costing the playoffs, but as we just mentioned, the Sean Walker trade, but they got another first-round pick. So going forward, they have four first-round picks in the next 2 years, a couple second-round picks. They have assets. Now, they can choose to use those picks, or they can go the Vegas route and use those picks to trade for young players now, or players who they feel can be part of the group they have, the Tippetts, and, you know, that 24, 25, 26, if you want to go as high as 27 with Konechny and Sanheim, 28, in that range. You know, that they might want to add to that and go a little bit faster, as you said, expedite this a little bit. Or they may just use the picks and build up their young pool of players that's coming behind those guys. That's a decision they'll make. But either way, it's not a situation where, because they didn't, you know, go to the bottom of the standings this year, the rebuild was hurt. They picked up a first round pick while doing that. So I think you can look ahead and still see they're building assets. Now, the Cuttergauchy situation was thrown at them, so that affects the rebuild in a way. It makes Jamie Drysdale a really key part, because they need him to develop into a really good player. You don't want to have that Cuttergauchy fifth overall pick kind of go to waste, right? So, and they did get another second round pick as well with that. So we'll keep an eye on what that becomes. But right now it's kind of Drysdale and Gauthier, right? So we're going to watch Cutter. We're going to watch Cutter. He's making his debut here this week. And then we're going to watch Jamie and hope that Jamie gets healthy and certainly shows signs that he can be a dynamic defenseman. But he's got to do it, right? He can't just show signs. He's got to stay healthy. He's got to be on the ice, and he's got to do it. So we'll see. But that was also acquired this year, right? That was another asset acquired, a young, possibly stud defenseman. They gave up their fifth overall pick from the last draft, two drafts ago. But, you know, they did pick up another asset, two assets with the second round pick. So that was kind of thrown at them. They had to adjust. I don't think that was part of the grand plan. Cutter decided, for whatever reason, he wanted out. On the fly, and I think they did a good job with that. But again, it's all about the future. They were able to accumulate an asset or two while making that move. And then any other move, obviously the Carter Hart situation was completely out of their control. They actually were proactive in drafting a couple goalies last year and already had a couple goalies drafted, and Sam Harrison emerged. So, you know, they've got something there in goal, but it's going to take a little while. They need a little depth there. Might have to go out if Fedotov, if they're confident he's going to be a good backup next year or a good 1A, go forward with that. If not, maybe a veteran has to be acquired, whatever. So we'll see how it goes. But the rebuild continues, even though they almost made the playoffs. And if they had made the playoffs, the rebuild continues. That's the one thing. I mean, the Sean Walker trade should show those fans, that narrative you just mentioned, should not be really worried that this management team, while wanting to stay competitive now, and certainly this team was competitive, the eye is on the prize. The eye is on being consistently competitive. I mean, Stanley Cup competitive. Down the road, you know, 2-3 years from now, they want to be one of those teams that every year when you pick up your Hockey News preview magazine or you go online to your favorite site and see the previews for the season, the Flyers want to be one of those teams that have a shot to win the Cup. And if, in order to make that true, you have to continue to get assets and either use those assets to acquire players or use the assets for what they are, a draft pick, and build that way. But there's two ways they can do it. We'll see how they go.
Yeah, such a great point. And that's where I think the Flyers have good ingredients. I like their ingredients that they have now, and I do think they have gotten the assets to help themselves in the future. That's where I really think it's different than a team with a lot of veterans that certainly is not getting any better and is probably on the decline.
Most of the teams, Jordan, that they battled with for this playoff spot outside of Detroit, when you're talking about the Islanders, Washington, Pittsburgh, they're all hanging on.
Yeah,
they are veteran teams that made last-ditch efforts, whether Pittsburgh trading for Carlson, Islanders, a coaching change, at a pretty late stage of the season. Those teams, Washington, it was remarkable to me that with the goal differential they have and they're the fifth lowest scoring team in the NHL, that they made the playoffs. That was more a great coaching job, I guess, by Spencer Carberry and some fortune. But they're also, they're a lot of their key players, you know, Carlson, Ovechkin, Oshie, these are not young players. So what Detroit, they're a young team. I think it's really I mean, you think about how disappointed the Flyers are. Detroit's supposed to be ahead of the Flyers in the rebuild. They win two miraculous comeback. You know, they get two miraculous comeback wins there in the last games, and then they miss the playoffs. So they're probably even more heartbroken than the Flyers, especially from a standpoint of their young players have been around a little longer, and they're, you know, but they're on the upswing. But the other teams, the other three I mentioned, are veteran teams. So the Flyers are one of the teams going up. Detroit is. Ottawa and Buffalo were supposed to be, didn't really this year, so who knows what happens there. Again, Ottawa, another case. We have a ton of pretty high drafted players, a lot of talent, but it hasn't come together. So you just never know with that, getting all those high picks, you know, back-to-back-to-back years. I mean, people think about Pittsburgh. Yeah, Pittsburgh happened to go into a losing spell and not stumble upon, because they got there deservedly, but they end up with, you know, Crosby, Malkin, and Marc-Andre Fleury back-to-back-to-back-to-back years. Those are three Hall of Famers. That doesn't happen all the time. So you hope that it happens, but it doesn't. But you do need high picks. And the Flyers have a couple of, you know, they've had some high picks. Some haven't gone well. They're going to have to maybe bundle some picks to get a higher pick if they have a particular player they really want to go out and get in the draft. Or, as I said, use those picks to acquire veteran players. I mean, not old veterans, but younger veterans.
And it seems like, Jim, they have some flexibility, as you've mentioned, going into the offseason going forward. But maybe it goes without asking or saying, but how much does this rebuild really fall on the shoulders of the Mad Russian, as John Tortorella called him, Matvei Mishkov? Jim, in my eyes, it falls so much on this young man because Cutter Gauthier did not sign. And that's just the reality of it. It was a big loss in the Flyers' eyes. In my eyes, for the Flyers, for the rebuild, because this is the fifth overall pick, and then Mishkov was a seventh overall pick, and who knows if they're going to be picking that high again throughout this. So if Mishkov doesn't pan out, if he for some reason is not able to get here or doesn't pan out, your two high picks, those would be costly blows. How much do you think this is going to rely on Mishkov panning out to be a star?
It does, mainly because he would bring the Flyers, and I'm not even sure Cutter would have brought this. Cutter would, I think, and will be a solid NHL player, but Mishkov brings that elite talent level, that game-changing offensive talent that the Flyers don't have. They have some guys who are close. Owen Tippett's shown signs and stretches where he really can be pretty dominant in games. And Tyson Forster is a very intriguing prospect. I think 20 goals is just scratching the surface for him. And there are others. But those guys are going to be big pieces of this. And Owen Tippett could explode next year and be a 40 to 45 goal scorer. So they might have some in their midst, but they're tough to find. And Mishkov looks like he's one of those guys. So, yeah, there's a lot on that pick. But I do feel Danny Briere, we've seen enough in his limited time as GM, is very creative. And I wouldn't put it past Danny to acquire a player that is close to that level. I mean, Vegas somehow got Jack Eichel, right? It can be done. It doesn't have to be through the draft. It's easier if you're able to draft and get that elite player. Of course, the other way, Jordan, is through drafting a player a little bit lower who develops into that franchise kind of player. And those happen, too. I mean, Artemi Panarin wasn't even drafted. So, there are those out there. I mean, it's much easier than you see Austin Matthews and Connor McDavid, you know, first overalls become those kind of players. But there are others that don't. Braden Point was not a first-round pick, you know. So there are other players who reach that level of almost franchise kind of players. Maybe Point isn't quite that, but he's pretty close. John Cooper says he's the best player on his team a lot. You just have to see how it goes. I do trust the leadership group of this team to be creative enough to maybe go out and find another one of those players. But right now, yeah, in the system, on the team, Mishkov is that one elite talent, potentially elite talent. We don't know. You don't know until he plays in the NHL, but he's playing against grown men now as a teenager, and he's looking pretty darn good. He certainly looks like someone who's going to have that ability to be a franchise player or be a difference maker, I guess is a better term. I don't like the term franchise player, actually. What does that exactly mean? But a difference maker, a guy who's in a lineup that the other team has to game plan against, a guy that when a game is on the line comes up with those goals, he scores or he sets up a goal when even the defense is great, he's still able to do it. And you need those players. I mean, as we get ready for these playoffs, you're not going to see, I don't think, a team win the cup that doesn't have at least one or two of those players. So, yeah, there's a lot on his shoulders for sure, but I wouldn't say it will be all on his shoulders as we move forward. I wouldn't put it past the Flyers getting another one somehow, whether it be a guy who's in the league or maybe they stumble upon a guy drafted a little bit lower who becomes that great player. I mean, I'll give you an example of a player whose stock is rising, Oliver Bonk. I mean, when he was drafted last year, late first-round pick or relatively late first-round pick, it was, he might be a second-pair defenseman. You know, we'll see. Well, now he's shown an offensive side of his game being used in the bumper and the power play and stuff. Maybe he's a little bit more than that. So we just don't know when these guys are drafted. Cutter Gauthier was probably ascended from even where he was picked. He was a fifth overall pick, but there were question marks about, did he have the vision? Did he have all those things when he was drafted? Is he just a gunner? Is he just a guy with a great shot? Can he play center? And he's played center now a little bit here and there, and he's shown he can be a distributor. He's still got the great shot. I'll question his character for sure because of some of the things I've seen him say. It's just like, I mean, why do you make comments like he made before the championship game in the Frozen? There's no reason to make a comment like that. And because if he left just because they didn't sign him after his first year, you know, and put him in the NHL, that's not a guy I want on my team anyhow. So I will question his makeup until I see otherwise. He can certainly prove me wrong on this. Got a lot of talent. Probably has raised his level from a pure talent standpoint. So these guys, you know, their profiles change, Jordan. So just because you're not picking in the first five or six doesn't mean you can't come up with a difference-making kind of player. And the Flyers have four cracks at finding one in the first round in the next two drafts. Maybe they package some of those to move up or something. But they have four cracks at least and some second-round picks. You have a chance whenever you're making one of those picks to find that player. So, you know, you hope that the scouting department is improved. You hope, I think we're seeing signs already. The development aspect of the Flyers organization is on the upswing. That's huge. You have to get these players and make them better. We're seeing guys like Tuomala, who's making big time improvements now and is becoming a true prospect. So these things all have to happen for it to all come together.
And I think the real elite organizations take great pride in hitting on their picks in the teens or in the 20s of the first round, like finding those difference makers in the later parts of the first round. You can, as you mentioned, Jim, and I couldn't agree more, you can't always have top five, top 10 picks. You have to take pride in hitting on those other spots, hitting on picks in the second round, in the later rounds. I think the really good teams do that. Jim, my final question for you, and it's a big one, but Bring it on, Jordan. In your eyes, and I'll give my part first quickly, what's the biggest storyline at which position group going into the offseason for the Flyers at the current roster now? I really think in my eyes, it's goaltending. With Carter Hart and his involvement in the Hockey Canada sexual assault case, as we predicted, it's going to take time. It's looking like it's going to bleed into next season. We don't know when or if he will ever play for the Flyers again. So here the Flyers have Samuel Erickson, and I think we still need to figure out if he's a number one or if he's a 1A or a 1B. And then you have Ivan Fedotov, a rookie after him. I really am curious to see how the Flyers will approach goaltending this offseason. So for me, it's goaltending because I thought it hurt them down the stretch. I thought they needed more saves down the stretch. But I'm curious as to what you think, Jim. Is it up front? Is it on defense? Or is it goaltending?
I would say goaltending is always number one in my book. I mean, if you want to just be general, I think every team needs good goaltending. Although with the last couple of cup wins coming from guys named Kemper and Hill, there's this thought that maybe you don't need that elite goalie anymore. But Hill and Kemper gave their teams elite goaltending in those runs. They just aren't elite all the time. But you do need good goaltending, clearly, to win a Stanley Cup. But the Flyers, Jordan, there at least have stockpiled some. I mean, Harrison is at least an NHL goaltender. If he's a number one, maybe we'll find out. I think he is. They have to figure out how to get him to be able to be strong through the whole season and not overwork him. I mean, he played, what, 31 of the last 36 games, something like that. So that's too much for any goalie, let alone a rookie goalie. And then Fedotov's a wild card. We don't know what he's going to be. He could be he could be a Vezina Trophy winner. We don't know. He's just such an intriguing human at that size and with that athletic ability. So we'll see about him. Kolesov's over now, so he is certainly bears watching. And then they had the two picks this year, and one of them, the guy, is just over. His numbers are off the charts. So they have at least built up a little bit of a stockpile in net. I'm a little more concerned about center. You know, Cutter Gauthier probably would have alleviated some of those fears if he was going to play center, but he's not part of it. John Couturier is in his 30s. Morgan Frost has had a pretty good shot at showing whether or not he's a one or two or three center, and as important, running the power play, which just has not worked. You know, what is Morgan Frost? Scott Laughton, I don't think anyone would say is a number one center. He's a great player to have on your team, serves so many roles, and absolutely would love to have him on the team. But to me, you look beyond that, those are your NHL centers. There's not much really coming. So I think that's the position of need, the pivot. Now, whether Mishkov's going to play wing or center is another story. We don't know that for sure. Probably wing. Who knows? But I don't see a lot there, and I think that's where they have to focus. I think they might actually have to go out and get an NHL-ready center.
Yeah.
Especially one that is adept on the power play. It's 3 years running now. They've been at the bottom of the league in power play. They've had different people running the power play. Hasn't mattered. I know all people are going to say it's Rocky Thompson, but they've had guys before that. They've had head coaches take control of power play. It really hasn't been good for quite a while now. So you got to think it's personnel. And so to me, they almost have to get somebody who can really make a difference on the power play. Now, whether that's a defenseman running it from the point or a forward running it from down low or whatever, just a playmaker, maybe a net front guy, I don't even know what position of the power play the guy needs to assume, because they kind of have needs all over the place there, but they got to have somebody who makes a difference in the power play. It's hard to win when you're getting no support from the power play. The penalty killing was tremendous this year until the dip late, but pretty much tremendous. It was a weapon with the shorthanded goals and all that. You give just even a mediocre power play with that penalty kill, again, they're in the playoffs. So center to me, that would be my answer to your question. I think they're on D. They've got a pool of young players. First of all, Cam York is, I think, proven he's a top pair defenseman. Travis Sanheim's right there. Yeah. Jamie Drysdale could be right there. Nick Seeler is a solid third pair defenseman. He's shown he can play second pair with the right partner with Sean Walker. That was certainly a very good second pair. Ristolainen, I don't know his injury situation. He's an NHL player. Then you're talking about, beyond that, Andre and Bonk. Mm-hmm. And some other young, and then Ginning, Adder, where do they? You've got some, a little bit of a stockpile there too. And then in goal, we talked about a little bit of a stockpile of young players coming. I guess the question in goal that for you would be, do you think they should go out and get a veteran goalie to help Sam out? Legitimate, but I think Fedotov's such a wild card there.
Yeah.
You want to go out and commit to that before you see how he looks after a full offseason over here. And you know, a training camp and all that. So I think they might be willing to give the Fedotov thing a try and Kolesov as well, see how he does with the Phantoms. And then maybe if they need to go out and get a goalie, maybe that's in season next year.
Yeah.
But to me, up and down the middle there, I don't see a lot of depth, and I think they might have to make some moves there.
Yeah, it's such a great point. It's such a premium position, and I didn't even think about how much it could impact the power play, which has been a glaring issue that has preceded Rocky Thompson's arrival. All big questions, without a doubt. Jim, I think this will be a fascinating offseason. I really do. I think it's really going to have eyes of what do they do next? How quickly, how much, I think a big question is how far do they feel like they are away? Do they feel like this season brought them closer, or do they feel like the finish to the season showed that they are still some steps away? And I'm really intrigued to see how Briere approaches it in his view with where the organization stands.
Yeah, I am too. I heard Keith Jones talking the other day. It's like, I remember, just as an example, I remember throwing out a player's name to Jonesy last year at this time during the playoffs. He was having a great playoff run, and I said, he looked good in orange and black, and he said, not yet. I'm not so sure if that happens this year, and this guy wasn't old. He was in his mid-20s.
Okay.
I'm not so sure if there's not some player out there in his mid, you know, early mid, even, you know, 27, 28 years old, who's somehow available, that's a power play guy that they wouldn't necessarily go out and get him. I don't know that. I don't know if they think the rebuild's extent has been accelerated that much yet. I think that's going to be interesting to see here. I do think there is a definite mission with the management team to improve the power play somehow going into next year. And, you know, how they do that, whether it's someone else running it or new players, I think it's probably more the latter than the former. We'll see. But I do think they know that that's a problem that has to be addressed. And so maybe how they address that will give us an idea of where they feel this team is in the rebuild. I mean, are they to the point now where they're ready to say we should be a playoff team next year? The Flyers should be a playoff team next year. I don't know if they're ready to say that yet. Some teams in a rebuild have that. Look at the Devils. They have their jump up year was better than the Flyers. They went all the way, you know, to the top of the standings and made a little bit of a run in the playoffs, or at least it had some success in the playoffs, and then fell back this year. And a lot of these teams that rebuild, it's just not that steady line up all the time from a team standpoint. And so you go up and then you drop back. And I've talked to some people who feel the Flyers will have a drop back next year. I'm not one of them yet. I want to see what the team's made before I say automatically they're going to have a drop back. Because there is this theory also, Jordan, that the collapse, as we've called it, was a regression to the mean. And I don't buy that at all. Because when the Flyers were basically winning early in the year and holding on to that playoff spot, for the most part, it wasn't like they were stealing games. There were very few nights or mornings after in the press room at the training center where we were talking, where we were saying, oh, they're likely to get that win. For the most part, I mean, the analytics show they were outplaying teams for a long stretch of the season. So it wasn't like this false narrative, like the Caps might have been a little bit, where they were somehow eking out wins, getting blown out, eking out wins, getting blown out, and then, you know, end up the fifth lowest scoring team in the league, but in the playoffs. That to me is more of a mirage than what the Flyers were. So I don't think it was a regression to the mean, the collapse. I think it was more they lost Carter, they lost Sean Walker, they had some injuries on the back end, and, you know, Coots, Atkinson's contributions in the second half were much less than the first half. And you put all that together, young team, goalie is completely run ragged. It led to a collapse. I don't think it was regression to mean. And then they bounced back and won those games late, kind of showed everybody that they still have that potential. So I'm not going to be one of these guys who's going to be out there saying, yeah, next year looks like it's going to be a drop back for the Flyers. I want to, first of all, see what the roster looks like before I say that. But second of all, I don't think it's automatic. You don't have to drop back as part of a rebuild. You can continue to get better. And I think that's the management objective, is to continue to get better next year. And since they were that close to the playoffs this year, better next year would mean maybe a playoff spot. So that's where I'll be right now. We'll see where they are once the, you know, draft takes place, the trades, free agency, all that. Then we start making those assessments. Yeah. And then we're wrong on those assessments anyhow.
Yeah. And we'll talk about it right here, how we were wrong.
Right. You'll bring it up to me, I'm sure.
Yes.
Except Brian Boucher. You know, he's never wrong.
Never wrong.
Lifted the city on his shoulders back in 2010. And that's what he tells you, at least.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'll have to have Bouchon for sure as well.
Yeah, you got to get Bouchon here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just get him in a good mood by saying 2010.
That's right. That's right. Well, Jim, and the end of the season always brings really broad questions. I appreciate you coming on and answering them in such detail. It was a real treat. And Jim, I would love to have you on again this summer if you're open to it. And I hope you have a great summer and can't wait to see you soon. Thanks so much. And stick taps to you for another great, great season in the booth.
Well, I appreciate that. It was a lot of fun. I mean, more fun than some expected that we were going to have. And the team was a lot of fun to watch, not just because they work hard, but because of the transition game, which for a broadcaster is a lot of fun. Nothing like calling breakaways and two-on-ones. Yeah. So it was a lot of fun this year. Great working with Bush. He was he filled the big shoes of Keith Jones admirably, and Scotty Hartnell when he did his game. So it was a lot of fun this year. Appreciated your work all year, Jordan. Appreciated your hard work. Always, well, not always, but mostly, most of the times, first to the rink and last to leave. And again, I think we'll be seeing each other this summer. There will be enough happening. There will be some press conferences. I think we'll see each other here and there this summer.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Jim. Great to see you. Great to chat with you. A big thank you to Ben Berry, our podcast producer and guru. And Flyers fans, of course, as always, thank you so much for listening to the latest Flyers Talk podcast. Wherever you rate your podcast, wherever you get your podcast, please rate and listen. And we can't wait to talk to you next time.